am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I wish I could sing as well as Jillian sings. Hi, everybody. This is Jan Revell in Purpose Talk Radio. It's a beautiful Monday here in Sedona. The sun is shining. The sky is blue. The colors are just, the contrast is absolutely amazing. We have a great gift guest for you today. She's a gift, that's for sure. Lori Rubenstein, who wrote the book, Forgiveness, Heal Your Past, and Find the Peace That You Deserve. And she's got a bunch of other books, too. And this is a wonderful follow-up on our six-week series that we just finished called Healing from Abuse. I want to remind you that our opening song and closing song called I Am Who I Am is by the group True Trinity, made up of Cindy Freeman, who is our wonderful facilitator for this program, and Jillian Clark, who's the voice that you heard, and Rachel Martinez, who is part of that musician group. I think they're fabulous. You can find them at truetrinity.com, and you can listen to the song, and you can also purchase the song if you decide you want it. I run around here dancing to it most of the time because I really like it so much. I think it's a very powerful song. So I want to invite you to join us on Facebook in the group, the Conversations group. It's called Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. Just look for the group and request to join, and Cindy will make sure that you are added to the group immediately so you can join in the conversations that go on there. And they go on all during the show because everybody gets pretty excited, and then we continue it after the show, and Lori will join us over there for a little bit after the show as well. So how to contact me, that's right. See, I don't even have Cindy on here to remind me yet, but I'm trying to remember all of these housekeeping things that I'm supposed to do at the beginning of the show. To contact me, you can email me at jan@purposetalkradio.com. That's an easy way, jan@purposetalkradio.com. You can also find out more about me at my personal website, janrevell.com. That's J-A-N-R-E-V as in Victor, E-L-L.com. And I want to let you know, this is something that's brand new for me, so I want to let you know what's going on. Some of you know that I have started my practice as a medical advocate, and I'm very excited to announce that we're going to do a live event here in Sedona, and we're also going to do a teleconference for people who think that they would like to become a medical advocate. I have an insurance agent to talk who's going to talk about liability insurance in case that's needed, or you want it, you feel safer for it, and also an attorney who's going to talk about some of the legal issues, and I'm going to talk about what it takes to be a medical advocate and how to join us in that. Pretty exciting career. This is a profession that's relatively new. And if you have medical background or you know somebody who has medical background, this would be a really perfect opportunity for them to help other people. So the card for today, and I'm gonna bring Lori in here. She doesn't necessarily have a card, but I'm going to ask her at the end if she has something to add to it. But for now, the card for today is called All Souls Day. So always when I'm choosing a card, I'm always thinking about the program and the focus of the program. And obviously this one is forgiveness, healing your past, and finding the peace that you deserve. And this is a perfect card for that, called All Souls Day. The card shows what I would assume is a mother. She has a red veil, kind of looks like the outfit that Mary, Mother of Jesus, wore, you know, with the I don't even know how to describe it. In any case, it's that cape that goes around the face and comes down around the body, is blue in color. And she's holding the hands of a very young child who is in front of her. There are leaves coming down on either side, framing them. There's a star in the background, several stars in the background. They kind of look like those orbs that we had in another card last week. So there are several of these stars that I'm going to assume are orbs, which are spirit form. And this is a mother with her child. All mothers tend to be protective of their children. They want the best for their children. They don't want them to be hurt. They want to protect them from any damage that might be done to them. They want to protect them from harm. And mothers tend to feel that way throughout their lives. It's very rare that you find a mother who doesn't feel that way. They do exist, but those are the rarities. Most mothers really care about children, no matter how old you get. My mother was 88 when she died, and I was still her little girl. Drove me crazy, but there it was. You know, I was her little girl, and she wanted the best for her children, like most mothers want the best for their children. So when you are hurt, when you fall down and you hurt yourself, you scrape your knee or your elbow, and you end up crying, who comes and takes care of you? It's mom. Mother comes and kisses the elbow or kisses the knee and helps you heal. And how does she help you heal? Some of it is allowing you to cry and allowing you to admit that you have been hurt. When we grow older, sometimes abuse is really obvious and evident in damages that are done to a person physically, and sometimes those damages are hidden. They're emotional damages. They're mental damages. They change the way that we behave in the world and the way that we function in the world. They change our ability to function in the world. And sometimes mom can't heal that. So it's up to us, each individually, to find that mother within ourselves. And we all have her there. I don't care if you're male or female. We each have a mother inside of ourselves. And she's the one who can help us heal. She can kiss the bruises. And she can allow us to cry. And she can allow us to rant and rave. And she can allow us to talk about the abuse that has happened and to learn forgiveness. And she's the one who also can help us learn that forgiveness. There are many other ways, but remember that that mother inside of you is there, and she loves you immensely. So, Lori, do you have anything to add to this?
Yeah. Thanks, Jan, so much for having me on the show, first of all. What I was getting from the card was the idea that the mother-child love, that bond, is the closest thing that we humans really know to unconditional love. And that is really what spirit has for all of us, you know, that unconditional love and that oneness. And that's the place, that's the goal, really, of forgiveness, is getting to that, the place of knowing that we really are truly all one, you know, as the mother loves the child and the child loves the mother, and that bond is formed. There's a safety in there. And as you were saying, you know, that the mother's taking care of the child, that safety net is there. And we all have that within ourselves. So as you said, you know, you can go inside of you and look for that parental, unconditional love that you would get from a mother archetype, let's say, because not all of us have had that same kind of a, you know, mothering that we would like to have had. But at least you can, you know that it is within all of us to love ourselves and to give ourselves what we need as a good parent would. So that's one of the skills. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. I thought you were done. I'm sorry.
I was.
I remember years ago when I recognized that my mother, I used to say my mother did not love me. And I realized that what the truth was my mother was not, didn't have the ability to love, show me love in the way that I could recognize it.
Right.
So mother archetype is a really good description of this, because a lot of mothers don't. Either they're not capable of it, or like in my case, there's a disconnect or a miscommunication between the two, particularly mother-daughter type situation.
Right. And we could do a whole show, couldn't we, on mother-daughter?
Yeah.
I know everybody out there is going, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then you think about it when you become a mother yourself and you go, oh, my God, are my kids going to think of me the way I think of my mother and my father? Oh, heaven help us. But remembering that all of us, our parents, our grandparents, and we ourselves do the best that we can with what we have available. You know, Amen. That's all we can't do. Yeah. 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 Okay, so we've already got you in here, and we're going to just kind of segue right into the program of talking about your new book, Forgiveness, Heal Your Past, and Find the Peace You Deserve. And you've written other books as well. What I'd like to do, if you are agreeable, is to kind of back up a little bit and tell us a little bit about you, where you're coming from, and then some of these books that you've written, and then let's talk about your most current book.
Okay, sure. So my background is really that I grew up in the projects to a teenage mom. And
wow.
So you know how good that was.
Wow.
How much fun that was. And it was an interesting childhood because my parents divorced young and my mother remarried. And as she remarried, we sort of moved up to the socioeconomic levels. And so I got to, as a child, see what it was like to be, you know, very poor and very wealthy.
Wow. That's
a
big gap, big difference.
Yeah, yeah. It's really big. And what one of the things I learned is really that truly, honestly, the amount of money you have, especially as a child, has nothing to do with the amount of happiness in your life.
So how did you learn that? How did you learn it?
The way I learned it was really being there. So when, first of all, I never knew I was poor. I didn't know that until I had, you know, the dichotomy of being rich.
Mm-hmm.
So I never knew that. So, you know, I was just a kid. And, you know, we played, we did, you know, whatever kids do growing up. And when we moved to a wealthier and wealthier, you know, neighborhood, the happiness level really was dependent on what was happening in the house more than anything else. You know, so what is happening with your parents, I think, more or even kids at school or teachers, more directly affects your happiness as a child than the amount of money or the things that you have, you know. And so it's hard when I see people who are just spoiling their kids so much. You know, they have to have all the stuff and they have to keep up with the other kids at school. And, you know, because I realize that it really isn't about that. You know, you can give kids, and I remember doing this with my own kids, you know, having all the stuff for them and then seeing them go to the cupboard and grabbing the pans and the pots and being as happy with that as anything else. Right?
Right.
So that was, you know, definitely part of it. And another part of it was, for me growing up, that was sort of interesting, was I spent my sophomore year in a drug rehabilitation program. And it was one of those, I don't know, do you remember the Synanon programs?
Vaguely.
Yeah, they were inpatient treatment centers that are very different from the ones today. You know, the rules weren't there like they are now. So, you know, they could yell and scream at you and humiliate you and just do all these things. So the whole goal of the program is to break you down, break down all of your defenses, and then eventually towards the end, you know, you get built back up again. So one of the things that I really learned from that experience was that I create my own life. I create my own happiness. Nobody else does it for me. And that, you know, I just realized that recently, Jan, that learning as a 16-year-old is really sort of the basis or the foundation of my life, that my own happiness is up to me, not somebody else. And although we look, you know, we spend all of our life looking for other people to fulfill us, we keep getting back to that recognition of, oh, shoot, I have to do it myself. I can't really depend on someone else to do it for me.
Wow. That's an amazing recognition to get for when you're that young.
Yeah, and it was a tough program. I mean, there were only, I was the youngest one to ever be in it. I was 14 to 15. I celebrated my 16th birthday a few months after I got out. And, you know, we had to, I mean, just wear these big granny underwear, you know, as a kid, and you know, like always these old crappy dresses, and we had to wear stocking caps on our heads. We didn't have our head shaved as the boys did, but the girls didn't, and we just had stocking caps that we had to wear. And, you know, it was really about getting rid of the ego, the, you know, self-identifying with, you know, trying to be cool and all that stuff. And, you know, what are you when you get rid of all that stuff? And as a teenager, you know, we really buy into what other people think of us. So
right.
I had this amazing gift, you know, as a kid to learn that really isn't what it's about.
Well, but the lesson that you learned, maybe this is something they taught you, I don't know, but when you say they built you up again, to me that whole process kind of sounds like some religions. But if they brought you back, if they built you up again by giving you this, teaching you this lesson that you create your future and your life, that's huge. Is that what they did?
Yeah, it was really huge. There was sort of the list of commandments, and I wish I remembered them all, but like one of them was no free lunch. You know, you have to make your own way. But one of the ways, so imagine this, you know, here I am 14, 15 years old, and you work your way up to different ranks. And so like you could be the head of a department, and then something was called an expedite or somebody above that. Well, eventually I became the head of the kitchen. So you're in this drug program, and I'm in charge at 15 years old of all the ordering, the cleaning, the cooking, everything, making all the decisions for people who were like con men, heroin addicts, prostitutes. I mean, people who were sent there or jail. And there were probably 30, 40, 50 people in this program. So here I am, you know, this, I have to make everyone happy, and I have to stay within budgets. I have to meet the needs of the program and the supervisors. I mean, it's, when, you know, it's, when I go back and I think about this, and I don't really talk about this very much. I don't know why I'm even talking about it so much today, but there must be a reason.
Well, it's pretty amazing.
It's a lot. So we didn't talk about forgiveness per se in the program, but we definitely talked about your thoughts, you know, changing your perspective, that you have so much power to change the world. I mean, it was, I never heard of Gandhi at the time, but it was a Gandhi-esque kind of experience, because we were really taught that what you put out is what you get back. And we didn't have the language that we have today, but that's really what we were taught.
Wow. That, you really were given a gift.
It was an amazing gift, yeah.
Yeah.
And that, I have to say, I do thank my mother very, very much, because she's the one that forced that on me.
How did she do that?
Well, she basically kidnapped me and took me.
Oh, okay. Well, that's one way to do it. Your mother must have gone through some amazing changes, too, being a teenage mother and then marrying into a wealthier situation. I mean, that's, for her, there had to have been incredible changes, just like there were for you as a child.
Yeah, yeah. And then that ended in divorce also. So, you know, she, you know, became a single parent yet again. So, yeah, I mean, she's been through a lot in her life also, for sure.
Wow. Wow. So then you talk about abuse that you had and how you've healed from it. Some your books, a lot of your books are about abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Can you?
Yeah. So I have a book called, one book is called Freedom from Abuse, Finding Yourself Again. And the other is called Transcending Divorce, A Guide for Personal Growth and Transformation. And I was not abused as a child. I mean, I went through, you know, a couple sort of light abuses with boyfriends. Definitely, you know, some verbal kind of abuse. And I worked, though. I became an attorney. I wanted to be a secretary.
You went from a drug addict to an attorney. You wanted to be a secretary?
Yeah. So I wanted to be a secretary in high
school.
Oh,
my gosh.
And I really wanted to go to Katie Gibbs School in New York and be an executive secretary. And I needed a credit, an American history credit in high school to graduate. And this is my junior year, and my counselor suggested that I go take a course at a college in West Virginia, which was, you know, a couple states away. And I did. And I found out, Jan, that I was smart. And nobody had ever told me that. I graduated from high school with a 1.9 GPA. And I took a couple of college classes and had a 3.5 GPA in college and said, oh, you know, maybe I'll go to college and become a social worker and work with people in drug and alcohol issues. And that's what I, you know, sort of changed to do that. And then when I went to college, I started working at Planned Parenthood, and I worked in one of the first shelters. And this was in the late 70s. And I worked, eventually I went to law school and wrote domestic violence legislation in four different states, was on, you know, numerous statewide committees to work on domestic violence issues. And when I was an attorney for 18 years doing family law work and quit that, moved from Oregon to Arizona. This is about 8 years ago. And went to work for the local Verde Valley Sanctuary as a legal advocate.
Mm-hmm.
And as a legal advocate here, I was helping form networks. But the thing that I did that I loved the most was support groups. And what I did is it was just trial and error, seeing what worked and seeing what didn't work for people, because, as you know, people, especially women, who try to get out of abusive situations, they can try 7 to 9 times to leave on the average before they leave for good. So my goal was, when people left, to give them all the necessary skills that they needed to not have to go back. And so, yeah, so that's what this workbook is. It's based on trial and error of what works, what doesn't work. And the people who have done the work in both freedom from abuse and transcending divorce, the goals of both of those books end up being forgiveness, which was like a big aha to me just a year ago when I realized, oh my gosh, the cornerstone of all the work I've ever done in my life ends up being forgiveness.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what? Cool. One totally irrelevant question here. Whatever happened to the secretarial thing?
I just decided to, because I went, when I went to college that summer, I took that American history course, but I also took a social work course, and it was like, I got to write this huge big paper about the history of drug programs, and then I just sort of decided, oh, social work. I didn't know anything about social work. You know, I never mm-hmm. really heard of it. And I decided I really loved it. And so I just, because I got a 3.5 GPA in that college, they had to let me in. I mean, they couldn't say, oh, you can't do it, because I could prove that I did. So all of a sudden I was on the college track rather than the secretary track. But I still use some of my shorthand.
Well, that's a valuable skill. I do agree. I don't have it, and I know there are times when I've wished I did.
Right.
That's a good segue. So, was the when the counselor suggested that you take this new class, was that right when you got out of the drug program, or was that after that, or did it relate in any way whatsoever?
Yeah, it was. It was within that year.
Mm-hmm.
It was within that year period. I mean, the only reason I had a GPA as good as I did was because when I was in the drug program, a woman, a tutor from the school, came and just, you know, supposedly to tutor me, but she gave me C's and everything. And that's why I had a good GPA. At that point, I thought it was good because otherwise I would have been failing.
Well, that's amazing that the counselor would suggest that you take this other course, a college course, when you had such a low GPA. Go ahead.
She obviously was very insightful and knew that I had more on the ball than I obviously knew.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the support groups. And by the way, you moved from Oregon to Arizona, which I did as well, only I did it more recently than you did. So just a little point of reference.
Yeah.
Tell us about your support groups. You started them when you got here in Arizona, right?
Right. So I did it for about 2 years with the Verde Valley Sanctuary. And you help people with their legal documents and that kind of thing. And as I said, you know, we would practice things. We would practice. One of the things that I think is so different and very, very, very controversial is the work I do with archetypes in this book. You know, when we talk about things like why, you know, how did you attract this into your life, or why do you think this came into your life, you know, to be with somebody who's an abuser? I'm going to make this really short, but it's a very long, detailed explanation. But what I do is I take people through a process where they see that the abuser archetype and the victim archetype are almost exactly alike. And if you can say they're two sides of a coin, they're opposite but exactly the same. They're on the same coin.
So it's the old, you can't have one without the other, huh?
You can't have one without the other. And then you move into that survivor-thriver archetype.
Mm-hmm.
And the abuser can't touch that archetype. So you can actually see. So I'll take people and I'll write it all out for them so that they can see it. And you can, and I have examples of that in the book. And so you can see that the survivor person has nothing in common with the abuser or the victim archetypes. They can't live together. They can't coincide together. Does that make sense?
Well, yes, it does. But I'd like you to talk a little bit more about it, if you would.
Sure. So what I do is I take people through a process where they're using, I get them to get into the archetype. So I say, you know, what is the language a victim uses? What are the thoughts or beliefs? What is the physiology of an abuser? So let's say a victim. Let's use victim to start off with. So I'll give you a couple. A victim might say, I'm not good enough. No one loves me. I'm embarrassed. I'm not smart enough. I have low self-esteem. I hate my life. I'm angry. Turn around and go through, okay, what does the abuser, what would the abuser say? I'm not good enough. I hate feeling needy. I'm angry. I'm scared. I'm ashamed. I'm not smart enough. I'm frustrated. Can you see how similar they are?
Yeah. So
okay,
if
now you move into the survivor person. I accept the past. I'm compassionate with others. I'm brave and courageous. I don't blame others for my problems. I'm willing to take responsibility for myself. It has nothing to do with, see how different they are?
Yeah, right.
And
so there's just, it's like two different worlds. They can't even see each other.
they cannot coexist together. And so when someone says to me, for example, you know, who I am right now today,
mm-hmm.
nobody would ever treat me, you know, in an abusive way. I mean, I don't even see that in my life anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? But when I wasn't feeling good about myself, yeah, somebody felt that they could treat me like that.
Wow. Yeah. It's hard for people, though, don't you find, to accept that self-responsibility and to remember that how I feel is how I'm going to be treated?
Well,
and how I think about
is,
myself?
Like, so that's, for example, like chapter 11 in my book.
Oh, okay.
So the book is really about, you know, being accepting that you're really afraid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Starting to do little things like calling someone to support you. You know, it's all about baby steps. And the thing is, with the baby steps of the process that we developed in the support groups, is that if somebody can keep going and take that next little baby step and that next one and the next one, they can get to that place. So definitely nobody's going from I'm abused to I forgive and I'm at peace with the world and right? And so there's a lot of education that has to be done too. So I go really, I say, you know, I have a section on the heart of domestic violence, you know, really getting to that place of, you know, what is the abuse cycle? Really understanding what is abuse, why abuse is there, what is the control, what is the codependency issue that's going on, you know, where did you lose yourself, how did you feel isolated, what did you miss the most when you were in that isolating and humiliating and shameful situation, right? So
yeah.
It's getting so real. I mean, this is, and this is one of the things, Jan, that I tell people all the time, and I feel emotional when I say this. I feel that abused women are the bravest, most courageous people in the world. You know, people give medals to the guys in, you know, Iraq and Afghanistan. They go into battle with full gear and training and a support system behind them. These women are bare, and they go into battle and they get abused, and they get shot at, and they get hit, and they get, you know, all those things. And they're told, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to take your kids away from you if you leave, and they still leave. You know, and it makes me so upset when people say, why does she stay? And they're not asking that question, why does he abuse?
Mm-hmm, right. Well, you know, I think that sometimes people think that the abuser is, well, that's who he is, and he's never going to change. He needs to be locked up. She has a chance to live, so why doesn't she leave? So how do you address that one?
Well, because the truth is, that's when women die. When they leave, they get killed. And, you know, if you have one woman getting killed in this country every single minute, this is reality, and people don't understand. People die. They leave, they die. In this town here, there was just a domestic violence last week in little teeny tiny Cottonwood. Two people shot each other. Now, I mean, I think that was a domestic violence incident, but it could have been drug related too. I don't know. Because I don't know. I'm not involved in that, so I don't really know the details. But I know
right.
that people die when they leave. And it is truthfully the scariest time. And so when you have all these do-gooders, you know, who are out there saying, just leave, just leave, just leave, sometimes, you know, all I can say is, I mean, I've had clients who have died. It's, you know, when you face the reality of the truth of the matter, we know that something very serious has to change in the world, and not just on the level of you know, the personal, I mean, we, you know, the people have to step in. I mean, right now, the Violence Against Women Act, you know, was just defunded in Congress. You know, I mean, defunded.
It was defunded?
I mean, like a few months ago. And so people are, you know, everybody's petitioning to get it back. But, you know, like the last 10 years, there has been some funding from the federal government, and now it's gone. You know, are people appalled by that? Are people standing, getting up in the street saying, this is not okay, we need to protect our members of society? No, they're not doing that. They're watching football games.
Ouch. So how does your book, I mean, are there a series of books that help a person be able to get to the point where they can leave and not die for it? Or
what I recommend is that nobody do this book until they're leaving. It's too, first of all, I don't want anyone to have this book even in their possession if they're still in the abusive situation, because just that alone could get somebody hurt, right?
Mm.
So getting out, so I always recommend this particular book for somebody when they get out. So whether they're going to a shelter, whether they're going to family's house, friend's house, wherever they're going to then get this book.
The one on forgiveness, your most current one.
No, to get the abuse book.
Okay.
I'm very practical. I mean, I know, you know, we live in Sedona, the woo-woo world, but I also have a very practical side of me, and that's the attorney piece, and it's about safety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, safety first.
So is there a way for somebody to leave an abusive situation and be safe, or... I mean, are there techniques that people can use? Maybe that should be your next book, is How to Leave.
Mm. I mean, there definitely are ways, and you can go to a shelter, but I mean, I will tell you, there is nothing that's foolproof. You know, restraining orders, I always tell people, restraining orders are not bulletproof.
Yeah.
If people are, you know, have really been threatened, life-threatening, like, you know, somebody's coming after them with a gun kind of thing, there mm-hmm. are organizations out there that can help you go underground and help you with new identity and social security numbers and all that stuff. But obviously, as an attorney, I can't say that.
Yeah, right, right.
I can tell people where to go to find out that information, but there are definitely people and places that will help protect people.
Where would somebody go to find that information? What you can tell us?
Mm-hmm. They can go to the, there's the national hotline, domestic violence hotline. Although I think the Violence Against Women Act takes some money away from that. So I'm not even sure that that's absolutely. So like in every state has a state coalition against domestic violence. And so they can Google that or call information. They can call their local police department that can also put them in contact with their local shelters who can tell them where to go from there.
As long as their abuser is not friendly with the police department.
Or a part of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. And, you know, there are, you know, people in the professions where there is a lot of control are controlling, what can I tell you?
Yeah, right. Well, tell us a little bit about your book, Forgiveness. And we do have someone on the line who has a question for you. Lucy's waiting patiently to talk with you. But I want to hear, first of all, before we bring her in, I'd like to hear more about your book on forgiveness.
So this book on forgiveness, I think, is one of those things that... and I've heard from everybody who's read it so far, I mean, a lot of people who have read it, it is life-changing. And I have a four-step process in it, and I want to say real fast what the four-step process is, to forgive. So one is acknowledging or accepting the truth of the situation. That doesn't mean it's okay. It means this is the truth and the reality of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's step number one. And so... there's a time and a place for everything. And so what I want to say, you know, on the abuse front is that forgiveness isn't like, oh, I just left an abuser, I have to forgive right away. No, you feel your feelings. You feel your, you go through the process. You know, we all have a process that we have to go through. But when you're ready for forgiveness, this can help you. So you acknowledge the situation. Two, personal responsibility. I'm really big on personal responsibility. And as you said, Jan, at the beginning of the show, that's a tough thing. But you take responsibility. There are some things that you take responsibility for because you were part of it. There's other things that maybe happened in your life. And at that point, you take personal responsibility for how you feel, how you react, the way it affects your life. Because you have, everybody has a choice on how every single thing in their life affects them. Number three is you find the gifts, you find the lessons in the situation. You really learn from whatever it is that happened to you. And four is you stay in gratitude all the time. And so I can spend 2 or 3 days talking about each one. So I, obviously we're not going to do that now. But so the book goes through various scenarios. There are people who wrote their true honest story with their true honest names about how they forgave. And there are some beautiful channelings from ascended masters for this book about forgiveness. So, for example, the introduction, Saint Germain channeled this beautiful, beautiful introduction for this book. And so, you know, there, I feel like it's a very high level, high quality book because the truth resonates so well with people. So whether it's self-forgiveness that they have to do, getting rid of guilt and blame and shame, whether it's forgiving somebody else, whatever it is, I mean, I have a Holocaust survivor who, you know, her story's in here. She was one of Dr. Mengele's experiments as a 20.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, I mean, she forgave. And I go to this with people all the time. If they can forgive, so can you. You know, your husband who cheated on you, forgive. you know, it's not, you know, like, if they can forgive this, we can forgive this. And it's always a choice. So I really go back to making that choice. And if you're not ready to make the choice, then honor yourself at that point that you're just not ready.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, I want to just throw in a little something here about the when you're, what was the second one you said? What was your
personal
second?
Personal responsibility.
Personal responsibility, yeah. I recently was in a, not feeling very good emotionally. I got really down for some reason. You know, who knows why? I got down. And I spent several days that way. And finally I said, well, wait a minute. This is not who you are. Let's get back to being grateful and express your gratitude. And so I started doing my gratitudes again. And that very day in the mail, first of all, I received a bill that was not, was way more than I expected to see. I got a notice from my bank that I was overdrawn. And something else happened. Three things that happened that were all direct results of me feeling unworthy. You know, all of this feeling down, feeling blue, feeling like, oh, my gosh, life is, oh, woe is me. And on the very day that I said, wait a minute, you need to change things around, the actuality of what I had done showed up. And I can't say I laughed at myself at that point in time because it was a little bit upsetting to see some of these things that had happened. But before I got on the phone with the people that I was going to be dealing with, I made sure I went through my gratitudes. And everything worked out.
Right.
It worked out beautifully. I mean, so once you make a habit of being grateful and of expressing your gratitude, then even if you do screw up, like I did, and you spend several days of being down and all that shows up again, you know that you have the ability to change that, which is
powerful. And what you just said is so important to for people to hear. That it doesn't, even if you live in the state of gratitude all the time, it doesn't mean that bad stuff isn't going to happen to you.
Right.
But it means you're going to be able to handle it better. And I call that, so like in the forgiveness realm, I call that building your forgiveness muscle.
Oh.
When you're practicing forgiveness all the time, every day, and you're staying in that place of gratitude, then when those things happen to you, which they will happen, you know, we're not like in La La Land here. Although, you know,
well, we are.
We live in Sedona, right? But for the rest of the world, you know, things happen. We all know that. And what we can do, we can protect ourselves the best way we can. And gratitude is one of those amazing, amazing gifts,
mm-hmm.
this, you know, gift of grace from the universe. And we know how to handle things because we're in that position.
And gratitude sounds so simple. You know, and you hear people talking about it. It's like, think about it and it'll come to you or whatever. But the whole law of attraction thing, which I believe in, but still too many people don't go the whole route. You know, there's some action that's involved. And the thing about gratitude is even though it sounds very simple and it kind of is simple, it's really a serious discipline, a self-discipline.
Yes, it's simple but not easy.
Yes, there you go.
That's what I was saying. Consistency is a mastery. And
mm-hmm.
so to do, you know, it's a discipline, and to do anything on a consistent basis takes some special skill.
Right, right. Well, Lori, I'm going to bring Lucy in here in just a sec. But I want to remind everybody that you can call in if you have a question or for Lori or you want to talk with her about anything. And that number is 347-205-9074. Let me repeat it, 347-205-9074. And I want to remind people as well, after following the interview with Lori, if you have a question that you'd like me to pull an oracle card for, I have drawn three cards. So you're welcome to call in with a question or concern and pick a card, and we'll see what happens there. So now we're going to go to Lucy. Lucy, hi, this is Jan. You're on the air. How are you today?
Hi. I'm all right, I guess.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we hope we do.
I guess my question is, like, I feel so responsible. Like, I remember being in the womb and being scared to come out, you know, and my mom didn't want me to come out because of the situation I was coming into. And now, like, I have one child that lives with one abuser, and I'm pregnant with another child, and it's like, I feel so responsible. Like, I created this. I was born creating this. And it's like, I know it's possible. I know intellectually that it's possible to shift, you know, to the other side. But I just don't see how it's possible for me.
Right. So, Lucy, it is possible. It is possible. And it starts with you making a choice. It starts with you really, like, put your hand on your heart right this minute. And I want you to make a choice of where you want your life to go. Take a deep breath in. And I want you to imagine that a magic wand is in your other hand, although the phone is probably in it. And you can literally point to a place in front of you that is 5 years from now. You can see where you can be 5 years from now. What does that look like?
It's like, I don't know, it looks like a round house.
A round house?
It's my house, and my two children are with me, and I'm able to support us.
Right. Now, have you heard that expression, Lucy? If you can imagine it, you can do it. It can be yours. God would not give you the ability to imagine that life if you couldn't do it. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I do.
So there's a choice that you can make to wallow in the past of, I shouldn't be here, poor me, I brought a child into the world and I fucked it up, and da-da-da. You know, you can go into this whole woe is me place and you will absolutely not change anything. Nothing in the past will change, right? Nothing.
Yep.
Because you can't change the past. And that's where personal responsibility comes in. So your personal responsibility is to accept the past is the past, and that whatever I create from this day forward, I'm responsible for. You see where you can be. What is the next step that you can take? One little step right now that you can take to head towards that picture that you saw. You have the answer.
Lucy, remember that it just needs to be a small step.
So remember we were talking about gratitude?
Yeah.
So one of the things you can do today is start writing down 10 things that are happening right now in your life to be grateful for. Because once you start resonating and vibrating at the level of gratitude, you will bring in more things into your life that you will then be grateful for.
Great.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. And you do that every day until the next step is revealed to you. And you will know the next step, and then you just take that next step. You don't have to know the outcome, how you're going to do it all. All you have to know is the next step.
Right.
Does that help?
Well, what happens when I do a step, when I do something that I'm guided to do? Like, I've been guided to sing, and I love to sing. But then if I really lose myself in singing, then, like, I have nightmares and, like, wake up that I have wounds on my body. I mean, like, it's like there's a repercussion.
And I'm going to say you're making an assumption that there is that. Okay? Don't assume. Don't assume that that's attached. When you start living in gratitude, your soul will be vibrating at the same level, and you're basically sending your message, the message to your soul, because you've been wounded, right? So that's sort of a duh. know, right? You're having these dreams because you've been wounded, and you're living in your wounded space. So live in gratitude and start having dreams about, you know, coming from that grateful place. Can you see how you can change that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good luck,
Thank
Lucy.
You. All right.
All right.
Well, Lucy, before you go, Cindy, who is our facilitator in this group, has sent a suggestion that you draw the picture of you 5 years from now, the roundhouse with your children there.
Yeah. Okay.
So in your gratitude, when you're writing your gratitudes down, a lot of people recommend a gratitude journal. Put that picture in there as well. The question I have for you, and the question I have is, are you in a safe situation right now?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. All right.
I know that's something to be grateful for.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a big one to be grateful for. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Lucy, I'm going to put you back on listen mode, and I thank you very much for calling in and for sharing with us. Don't hang up because we've got more things that I still am interested in hearing, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye, Lucy. Bye.
Okay. Lori, I'd like you to tell us about an event that you have coming up on Tuesday, tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow night, if anybody is in Sedona, at Unity in Sedona at 6 o'clock, I'm doing an event on releasing self-guilt, blame, shame, and going through the forgiveness process. So we'll be doing meditation, we'll be doing some writing, and it's really a way to get in, to start that process rolling. It's a love donation, so it's easy, and that's Unity of Sedona. And then once a month, I do a free call, a teleclass on an area of forgiveness. So you can actually get on my mailing list and be informed of those free calls that you can get on every month.
So one of the things I want to recommend, and this is for Lucy and for everybody else, is if you go, we're going to get Lori's contact information here, but first of all, go to PurposeTalkRadio.com. That's PurposeTalkRadio.com. And then click on the guests link tab. And then in that page, you'll find the link to Lori's page, her guest information. And on Lori's page, you'll find a link to her books, the books that are on Amazon. And that'll take you right to all of Lori's books that you can see which one is right for you, and you can purchase it right from there. The other thing is it will give you some of Lori's contact information. But, Lori, tell us your contact information now. Do you have a website, Facebook group, page?
Sure. They can they can send me a note at Lori Rubenstein, and it's LoriRubenstein at gmail.com. The website, you can also just do LoriRubenstein.com. And I'm on Facebook, my personal page, and my forgiveness page is called Forgiveness Heal the Past. And if you do it all as one word, I think it'll, Forgiveness Heal the Past, it should come up on Facebook.
Awesome. Okay.
And for your listeners, I do want to say, if you write to me and you tell me I want the Jan special, then what I will do is I will do a forgiveness process with you personally, one-on-one, and we can do that by phone or Skype, and it will be half price, 50% off for you to do that. So that would be $60 instead of $120.
Wow, that's an awesome gift.
Yeah, so just ask for the Jan special, and then I'll know what you mean.
Okay. Hear that, everybody. Ask for the Jan special. Contact Lori and ask for the Jan special and get a forgiveness. What did you say, a forgiveness session?
Session. Mm-hmm.
Process, yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great. And we'll post that, or you can post it in the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group that people can see that as well. Okay, so did I miss anything, Lori? Is there something
No, I think this was awesome. Thank you so much, Jan. This was a wonderful show.
It was, and I want to thank Lucy for calling in as well, and for Cindy for facilitating the program. And if anybody has a question that you want me to draw one of these cards, I've got three cards, and you can choose 1 through 3 and get a reading if you want. But we're going to kind of be closing it down. So if you want to do that, you better call in pretty fast or connect with Cindy on the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group, and she can forward a message to me. So, Lori, I want to thank you very much again. This has really, really been helpful, I think, for a lot of people. And I hope that forgiveness is always in vogue. There is never a time when it's not appropriate.
Right.
So, but sometimes we don't know. You know, I used to have a problem with the word forgive. What does it mean? What does to forgive mean? You hear it all your life and you go, I have no clue what it is. And for me, I had to learn that it was a letting go of the emotional attachment to whatever the emotion was at the time. But that's easy to say, not easy to do.
Exactly, exactly. And wanting the past, like Lucy was talking about, wanting to change the past so you don't forgive yourself mm-hmm. because you think the past should be something different, and that'll never happen.
Right.
It's about acceptance.
So I'm going to get a little woo here for a minute and say even the past that is from a past life situation.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, tomorrow night I'll be talking about this more, but I'm a regression therapist, so I help people with releasing those issues too from past life.
Okay.
And I think we carry it with us. You know, if we didn't do our work before, we get to come back and do it again. And so that's why I'm like, everybody, we need to do our work now so we don't have to come back and do it again. Let's do it now.
Yeah. Okay, Cindy says she's having trouble finding your fan page. So it's called Forgiveness Heal the Past, right?
Yeah, I'll copy it and put it on your page.
Okay, all right, that'd be great. Okay.
I'll do that right now.
All right. Okay, well, Lori, thank you very much for being with us. And it's really been an awesome program. Thank you.
Thank you so
and I
much.
Mm-hmm.
Bye, everybody.
And I want to remind everybody else to join us on Facebook and join us next week when we have Lynn McKenzie, who is, let me see, I have it right here. She's going to talk about the top 5 money manifestation secrets of divinely connected women. Well, I think we can probably include men in there as well, but that's all right. So join us next week at the same time, same place. And for now, I wish you soul blessings. See you next week.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.